Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
Hi, my name is Tim Brown, and this is the 12th episode of It's a Code World podcast. We don't have audio equipment today, but I have no doubt that it's still going to provide some value here. And I'm excited to talk with Bill Savoda about how to have an amazing customer service, or how to have amazing customer service in the digital age. So tell the people what you do, what you're up to, why they should listen.
Yeah. So I started an online custom t-shirt company out of my dorm room back in 04. Had no idea that now, over 12 years later, I'd still be doing it. We specialize in softer fabrics, better inks, and we work with customers all around the country. When I started out in my dorm room, though, as like a 19-year-old, I realized that 45-year-olds might not take me serious. So that was one of my biggest things. So I realized I better crush this whole online thing. And this is back in 2003, 2004. The internet was a totally different world. Like, Google wasn't really around. Yahoo was it. And just being an online company was totally different back then. But I knew that customer service, customer care, that was going to be the thing that separated us.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, just off the bat, you have built this company. And not only that, we're looking at 100 plus Google reviews.
Yep.
Of 5 stars.
Yeah, right now we have 106, I think, 5-star Google reviews.
Which is pretty insane. I don't know if you've ever, gotten to your clients or your customers and asked, or, try to get some Google reviews. It's not really that easy to get somebody to go out there and just do that. So having that, that's a lot of people that have said.
It's horribly hard. Yeah. You got to come up with a strategy, but. Yeah. I kind of fell into it because one day I just realized we're getting some reviews on Google.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this is before like Yelp really was doing anything. And I just started seeing some Google reviews and I thought, maybe I should drive my customers there. So we basically made a little snippet to put in every workflow email and just directed them right to the Google page. And before we knew it, slowly but surely. And the fun thing is out of those 106 5-stars, there's even some orders that were mess ups. Mm-hmm. We botch the order because we're still human, but it's how you make it right that matters. Yeah. And those customers, like, they will go to their graves saying how great of customer care we did, because when we messed up, we made it right. And I think that's a big mark of online, because people have a voice. They have a megaphone they never had years ago. Yeah. Just with the type of a, bam, 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 they can sound 10 times angrier than they really are.
Yeah.
And they're just looking for people to, play into that too.
Mm-hmm.
Bangers, some quick tools and resources to whet your appetite.
So we're going to start with 4 tools that will help you right now.
Yeah.
It's your customer service. And I just have a couple quick things. There's one, I know that later in the podcast you're going to talk about handwritten notes.
Yeah.
Here's a way to approximate that for some people that might not feel like they can do that at scale or whatever. Bond.co, which allows you to send handwritten notes to your customers just from your smartphone, which is kind of cool. And then I noticed you guys have Olark on your site.
Yep.
For chat.
Olark.
Talk.to, intercom.io. A lot of like software as a service companies will have that. That's intercom.io that they always use for the inner app chat. But the chat, it's kind of dependent on what type of organization you are. I know that as a digital agency, our agency, Snap Agency, we've had chat on the site before, and you just get a lot of like very low intent people. So it's one of those things that depends on your customer base. But any other tools that you have that you think about regards?
Yeah, we always think about our customer first when we're thinking of software. So like typical small businesses, QuickBooks has kind of been a default for years, either QuickBooks on your desktop or now QuickBooks Online. But we realized the QuickBooks Online or desktop didn't give the customer experience we wanted. So this is years ago, I switched to FreshBooks.com. Best customer experience for invoicing, hands down. We create an estimate gets shot out from us, gets invoiced from us when they pay. FreshBooks doesn't take a percent of it either, which is crazy, but they get a payment notification saying, thanks a bunch.
How do they even do that?
It's amazing.
How do they not take a cut?
FreshBooks is just a monthly fee.
Oh, okay.
If you use their processor, if you don't have like your own credit card processor, mm-hmm. they'll take a small fee, you know, just like any credit.
Yeah.
But they're great for, you know, getting your business up and running if you got to invoice your customers.
Yeah.
We love it. It's been huge for us. But I think the big thing off what you're saying is, like, point and click isn't necessarily the biggest thing anymore. Now it's like browse and chat.
Mm-hmm.
Browse and chat, or browse and validate.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to make sure that this is the best decision.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they clicked on the chat, they've already thought so much about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're already like, I need this. Okay, I'll chat.
Okay.
You know, what we found is those people who are chatting, often they have the most simple question. They just didn't find the answer easy enough on our site.
Yeah. Something we were talking about last time we hung out was the whole misunderstanding around e-commerce that perhaps, you know, agencies get it wrong in a lot of ways, digital marketing agencies. And you know, we see it sometimes as just the add to cart experience.
Mm, yep.
And there's kind of there's a pigeonholing of this e-commerce thing that it helps to kind of break yourself out of, which is a lot of e-commerce stores, we're talking about a phone call.
Yes.
We're talking about a real kind of in-depth, you know, they have to discover all these things about you. You have to give them the right information before they're going to give
yes.
you that phone call. So it's like giving them all of the right information and making that phone number obvious versus the add to cart thing.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, maybe you have some more thoughts on that as well.
Well, I love, one of my favorite examples of this is Tom Ford. If you go into a Tom Ford store, if you've ever, like, New York City, Chicago, bigger metropolitan areas, go into a Tom Ford store, you're going to see everything laid out. Like, they have the shoes, they have the belts, they have the jackets that cost $7,000, they have the most amazing suits, everything. But then you go to their online store, and they don't have everything there. Talking to, like, a Tom Ford sales rep, it's so fun. Like, these people are passionate about their craft. And I'm like, can I buy this online? Nope, you got to come into the store.
Mm-hmm.
When can I find? You got to come into the store. And I think like everything has been moving over the last few years away from this idea of how do we automate more to
mm-hmm.
how do we have more meaningful conversations
mm-hmm.
about what we're making. Now, Tom Ford might, you know, the pendulum might be over here.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, like, as an online company, if we're not having those meaningful conversations, if we're not creating amazing content so that customer goes like, this is the only logical choice to
mm-hmm.
buy this from this company,
mm-hmm.
like, I think we lose. We try to automate so much in terms of make the button bigger.
Yeah.
You know, but no, customers, what they care about, and most of our chat conversations, most of our phone calls and contact messages are all the smallest details
mm-hmm.
that we never set on our site.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
just validate that buy process.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you're kind of alluding to this shift over time. Customer service has always been extremely important. I mean, and there has, I would say there is kind of a bit of, it's gone out of fashion to talk about it, I would say, in a certain amount, you know.
Or it's like over-talked about. It's
yeah,
cheesified.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
that's,
it's just cheesy now.
Yeah.
It's like customer service.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. That's probably the best way to say it, is that it's kind of become like the words, at least,
yes.
like commoditized. Everyone says something along those lines, but nobody really emphasizes it a lot of people don't emphasize it at the front of their organization. They're talking about the products, the benefit, this, but the customer service being central in a more deep and meaningful way.
Yeah.
I think of that as a little bit fresh to me, you know, refreshing. You talked about that to me
yeah.
a little bit last time we hung out, and I thought to myself, that's you know, he's intense about that. That's something he cares a lot about. And to me, that was very interesting.
A few months ago, we had this huge shift from service to care. I joined this group called Allied Executives, a CEO group or founder or president level, all decision makers. And my mentor in that group was saying to me, we showed him kind of what our core values were as a company. And we said, you know, best customer service or best customer care. And he goes, no. Like, that's weak. That's weak. That sounds like something that's written on your wall and, you know, whatever. He goes, what does that look like? So as we kind of explored that, we thought, okay, Google is our standard. Five stars. That's what we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
When we get a 5-star Google review, we talk about it. And then we thought, what's better than five? And it was the most simple thing, but 6-star customer care. Like, that's our thing. Why? Because Google only allows us 5. We want to give better service. So what was fun was a week or two ago, I was in San Francisco visiting a lot of our just huge tech customers. Like, I say the name, you know who they are. And what they said to us was literally like, you guys don't understand how amazing your care is. Like, you're our favorite vendor to work with. And that to me was like the hugest pat on the back, coming from the biggest names in the business. Yeah. But it starts when you say like 5 isn't good enough. Like, we want to be better than your doctor, your lawyer, your attorney, the person you call when you need them.
Yeah.
Like, let's set the bar so high that nobody else can touch us.
I like that. I love ways to think about the symbolism. I love symbolism. I love the ways to think about physically. I like that question that that person asked you is, how do you say that physically?
Yes.
Because you're right. It is the genericness of customer service. But by saying 6 stars, you're bringing in kind of the physical. Okay, I get that for sure.
I'm waiting for the day that we get like a 4-star, 3-2, hopefully never a 1.
Yeah.
But like, I really think those failures in some ways define you, because then you see it in Amazon everywhere. When you get a bad review, it's how did that company deal with it then? Mm-hmm. What did they say to make it up?
Yeah.
How did they make it right? Because that spreads like crazy.
You should do something insanely cool for if that ever happens.
Oh, you bet. You bet we will.
I want to see a document. I want to see you guys tweet about that, because that would be exciting to me.
First 1-star review ever. Yeah, I mean, that would be...
That would actually be pretty cool, but don't strive to get that first one.
We're not going to.
No, but I just think that, like, people do say, though, when you have some kind of issue, like you were talking about earlier, that is a huge opportunity. And also, I was listening to a sales book right now, an audio book, and he talks about how every time somebody calls in with a complaint or some kind of issue, he thinks it's a giant opportunity. Whereas some of the other salesmen, he has like a team of salesmen, will say, oh my goodness, I don't like this. This feels uncomfortable to me. He jumps on it and he goes, I'm interested in that because we can do something with this. And actually, he's saying we can sell more.
Yeah.
Because there's an opportunity there. They're saying something's not good enough. You can say,
well, in some ways, your business is broken there.
Yeah.
Like, your business is broken there. How in the world do you expect to scale if you don't have the system to support the scaling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are huge.
Yeah. So, talk about, we were talking last time a little bit about how the... You know, a lot of your organization is around customer service,
yes.
Right? And
we emphasize care, not service. Yes. Like, that's our biggest.
Okay, care. And I was talking about how in a digital marketing agency, there is a lot of you have time spent on the technician side, craftsmanship. And so, for instance, if I'm spending 70% of my time on the craftsmanship thing, and I only have 30% of my time to dedicate to this care side of it. And if you have any suggestions for how to, I mean, I'm curious for myself.
Yeah.
How to work that into your day at the right points, because you can't, it's hard to be checking email all day. And I think I have a problem with that. But like checking email and whatever other points of communication that you have and trying to work that in your day.
Yeah.
How do you do that well?
I think honestly, like, the easiest thing is literally setting the expectation from the top down in the organization that every email is important, and that if you have a job that pulls you away from your email, at least going, here's the times of the day that I'm going to check. Mm-hmm. People expect a reply within a certain amount of time. Every person is different. I think literally, like, we've stressed this with our vendors too. Like, we just want to know you got the email. Did you just get the email?
Yeah.
I don't care if you've read it all now, but I just want to know that you're in today.
Yeah.
Are you just in?
Yeah, that's good.
Because there's this ambiguity of, like, I hope they got it, and just that simple email. And also, like, this, like, one of our core values along with 6-star customer care is just see it through. See it through. It's so simple. And see it through came about because we realized that our best employees, what would happen is they put in that 5, 10, whatever amount of time right at the end of the day, just to send that one last email to the customer that just says, hey, I'm about to head out. Want to let you know we got this, and I'm going to shoot it to you first thing in the morning. And I always look at it like this, just buy time, as much time as we can buy. So I always say, like, even if I get an email right away at 8 o'clock in the morning and our day starts at 8:30, If I just pre-draft an email to shoot out at 8:35 and just say, hey, got the email, going through it, look for a reply in the next 1 to 2 hours, or look for a reply in the next hour.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I just set myself up for success, and now I can actually do the stuff that matters. I think often it's just expectations.
Yeah.
Like, customer has an expectation that that's the most important thing at that moment, and we have an expectation going, I got to get that thing done. But we never told them, we'll get back to you about that in the next 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get back to you by noon, or look for an email by 3 p.m. All of a sudden, like, and when you say that 3 p.m., put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
Do something, because every little breach of trust makes that customer go, these guys, man, they let me down again.
Mm-hmm.
Trust is the biggest currency that we all have in care.
Yeah.
And it's all trust.
Yeah, I was going to say something along those lines, too. And I think that, like, if you have that strong customer service care thing, like, for instance, you know, you're implementing a service for them, whatever it happens to be, and there is some kind of issue with the implementation.
Yeah.
If you have that trust, if you've been high touch,
yes.
If you've sent the email back at the end of the day saying, I'm out for the day now, but, you know, we've got your email, or whatever those emails happen to be, if you are there and ready and communicative, yep. Then when there is some kind of issue, if there is, because, you know, there's often issues, especially with service stuff. There's something that comes up, some yep. detail is a little off and you have to fix it. Then they're not going to suddenly just drop you.
Yeah.
And that trust is what does that. They'll accept a lot of issues if they trust you, they think you care, and they know you're going to get it taken care of.
I say it's not an issue of like when it's not an issue of if something happens, it's when it happens. Yeah. And what do you do about it? Because your failures really will define you.
Yeah.
Your failures will define you. Like, literally, what does it look like? I love, love, love hearing stories of companies that just kind of slip a little and do something big.
Yeah.
For their customers. Like, oh, no, it's a little issue. Here's a Starbucks card.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a speed bump. This is a long relationship. We're on a long ride.
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you making it clear to that other person that, you know what, we're both human here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a Starbucks card is the answer. I'm saying intentionality is the answer.
Yeah.
And that lacks so much in so many businesses here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, across every industry, people will go out of their way to work with a company that just cares, that acts like they care.
Yeah.
Even if you have the people behind the computer that are just not pleasant, if they at least send emails in a timely way and they get stuff done, it matters so much. Yeah.
So, you just mentioned when there's something kind of crazy or there's something that's gone down that was negative and then somebody does something kind of over the top a little bit. Have you been a part of any of those types of things?
Yeah,
anything like that?
Yeah, I mean.
Because I love stuff like that. I hear some little stories and I think that stuff's really
my
cool.
My best example of this, and I mean, my business, we do mess up because there's people involved. Whenever there's people involved, there's error involved, potentially. You know, but it's all about how do you minimize that? Well, I remember our biggest order at it was a few years ago. Actually, it wasn't our biggest order at that time. We did huge orders, but it was a big one on our plate at that day.
Mm-hmm.
$7,750 in t-shirts, which is a pretty good size order.
Yeah.
And this guy gets his shirts, and I was the one that handled the order. Right now, I don't handle many orders anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I handled that order, and I realized I got a phone call from Dave saying, hey, it's all wrong. What's wrong with the ink here? And I looked at it, and I go, oh, are you sure? And I pulled up the art proof, and I realized, oh, no, it was on me. He approved the proof it was wrong. I made the proof and I approved the proof internally, sent it to him. He approved it. He didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Where does the buck fall? I'm going to let go of a guy who spends between $10,000 and $20,000 a year on t-shirts if I don't figure this thing out.
Yeah.
So $7,750 all replaced.
Yeah.
Dave was a happy camper. And his last email to me was literally, you don't know how much this means. And from now on, not only am I giving you all my business, but I'm referring people to you.
Yeah.
And I mean, your failures will define you.
Mm-hmm.
And for Dave, we always say, like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Stuff your stories in a sack. I think that was Seinfeld, right? Stuff your stories in a sack. No, your wallet has to prove how sorry you are. And one of my favorite authors, Harvey McKay, has this saying. He goes, if you can afford to buy your way out of a problem, you haven't got a problem. Think of that. I like, how big that is.
I like that.
I could afford to redo that order.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I actually made it an advantage.
There's another good argument for having good liquid assets going.
You got to have a strong business.
You got to have nice capital behind you. Let's see. We've got, how can any of this be leveraged by smaller companies? Let's say people balling on a budget to really make a difference and make more money. How can this customer service thing be leveraged to make the money so that they don't have problems?
Man, I love thinking of Scrappy. I think I love it because I started out of a dorm room. Like, if I could do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
It's just intentionality. If you actually care about the customers, it goes so far. You know what I mean? If you build the systems in, there's no excuses now. Like, Gmail has canned responses that you can, with a drop of a button, have a pre-templated email pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And you just pop in stuff.
Oh, nice. Do you do that?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. There's
How do you do that?
Super easy. I could show you.
Okay. Is it like it's in Gmail?
Yeah, it's in Gmail. It's just a widget or app or whatever.
I will find a link to a tutorial
but there's all these there's all these things right now. Like, if we talk about airlines, Delta constantly gets talked about because they respond to their Twitters.
Yeah,
you know, like, I just think, like, if you're balling on a budget, the biggest thing you can do is look for opportunities to shine.
Yeah,
and customer care is literally it. I'm not saying, like, we don't do a very good job on social, but our customers are not finding us on social.
Mm-hmm.
Our go-to-market has been Google or vendor booths.
Yeah,
and so our customers aren't naturally going to Twitter to try to have a conversation. Yeah. We're fine with that because we put all of our resources then into how do we serve our customers in a medium that they are familiar with.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second we say Twitter is going to become our new way of communicating, okay, now we have to allocate resources there. But find something. Ball on a budget. But you know what? Find a way to shine.
Yeah.
Find something.
Do you have some things that you've read on the topic of customer service, customer care?
Yeah. So much of it is just cheesy in my mind.
Yeah.
There's books written about it.
Yeah.
What I love looking at is more of what businesses are crushing it. But I look at it like what businesses are failing. Because when I hear stories and when I experience things from other vendors, my employees know this it's almost like a record that plays over and over. When we're working with a vendor, whatever it is, and that vendor doesn't treat us good, I'm the first to say, this is why we do everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first to say, this is why we built our systems this way. Because our customers are never going to experience that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bigger thing. Like, forget books. You know what it feels like to be praised and acknowledged and respected and loved and cared for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it's fake or when it's not there, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And in our office, like, that's our big thing. Like, I tell our employees, and it's fun because our employees get it too. Like, my team gets it. They start saying, like, that's why we do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Every single Monday, we go through our 5 core values.
Mm-hmm.
One of our employees will go through that one thing, give a case study of who's crushing it or who's failing. And then they bring it right back to, what are we doing now?
Mm-hmm.
And opens it up, you know, because I think, like, the positive and negatives, it's like, what's good or bad, and then what are we going to do about it now?
Yeah,
it's always about getting that DNA in their heart of, like, okay, 6-star customer care.
Yeah,
if that's one of our values, let's look at a company that's doing it.
I like it. It's awesome. So, looking forward, let's go 2020 with this. Is there anything that you project about customer service? You kind of alluded to the history of it.
Yeah.
People started to review online. People became more accountable. Customer care has become even more important because of the documentation that exists.
Yeah.
Out there for every single company, whether you want it or not, it's going to get out there if you're shitty to your customers or if you're great to your customers. So now, at this point, going forward, is that just even going to ramp up to 2020 and then beyond? Like, what is customer service doing now? Is it just going to be even more visible? What are you thinking?
My biggest thought about this is, let's move away from the buy now syndrome into a conversation syndrome, into a conversation like antidote.
Yeah.
Like, the faster we can get a conversation, the faster we win. But here's the big shift. Right now, it's all based on, like, Seth Godin's idea of tribes.
Yeah.
Like, when you love something, you tell every one of your friends about it.
Yeah.
When they're going to buy something and you've bought something like that, you're going to say, dude, you got to go to this company.
Yeah.
I'm writing a book now. It's called You Don't Need to Advertise a Good Party.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to advertise a good party because people attending spread it. It's the line out the door. We all trust the line. Lines don't lie. You know, we hope they don't. But I really see over the next few years here, just this whole economy flattening where now it's all about people first, where people are looking at other people for validation. Like, we don't trust the billboard anymore. Yeah. So the customer care better be right up front. We better have a super easy way.
Yeah.
Think of it now with, like, all these companies. Like, I just heard a LifeLock ad. They talk about how our customer support team and our agents are in America.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
What does that do to the customer? It says, we thought about you first.
Yeah.
We don't want you speaking to somebody in India that you can't understand.
Yeah.
Because Microsoft did that and they got so much flack.
Mm-hmm.
So I think over the next few years, it's all about conversation, customer first, and making that conversation so much easier.
And I think, like, to your point, you're almost saying their friends or the people closest to them matter most.
Yes.
And, like, I almost feel like I'm just going to sneak this in here because, you know, you talked about things that people are passionate about. The experts, and I'm going to go ahead and say critics, are less important than the people that are close to you and that are around you. I just watched Suicide Squad, the movie.
Yeah.
And everyone was just trashing this movie.
Yeah.
Just trashing it. So, like, all these reviewers online and stuff. And I just thought to myself, I was like, this is a really, really good movie, in my opinion. Of course, it kind of helps when you go in with low expectations. But I really thought to myself, this is really good. And I'm going to tell people now. And I'm sure that kind of affects things. You know what I mean? When you're telling somebody about it.
Your whole reputation's on the line.
Yeah, it is on the line. It's a great movie.
Well, I'll give you one example. And I don't mean to plug, like, Tom Ford, like, as the master.
You totally have.
I am, though. Tom, if you're listening, watching, like, I'm okay. I'm a size 12 in your boots. Remember that. But here's the thing. Tom Ford, I love this. He stopped making his brand for the critics and started making it for the customers years ago when he realized that the fashion shows that every designer runway were made for the wrong people.
Oh, that's so good.
It was all made for the photographers. Oh. So what happened? The lapels and everything had to be even bigger than normal.
Yep.
Everything about the garment had to be made for the photographer to get the right picture, not for the end user. So the end user, like, I think we have this weird idea of fashion. Like, fashion is out there.
Yeah.
It's just something and the average person can't ever grab it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we've seen all these crazy runway shows.
Yeah.
And it's not attainable. Like, it's not what we wear.
Yeah.
Tom Ford goes, forget it. He stopped doing runway shows altogether.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm only going to show off my stuff to people.
Yeah.
Best customer parties.
Yeah.
It's only invitation.
Yeah.
And you know what? Tom Ford's brand is one of the tightest brands in men's fashion.
Oh, yeah.
He came in with the whole
thing. We got Jay-Z talking about you.
Yeah, when you're in a rap song and think of
it's like the song's named that. Yeah.
Think of the shift in rap from the days of gangster rap with the saggy pants and everything to now rappers wearing Tom Ford and talking about Tom Ford.
It's classy.
Yeah, but his whole goal was, I want to give men a fighting chance to stand next to women, to deserve to be on the runway next to a woman on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Because up till Tom Ford, nobody set the standard.
Yeah.
But he started with the customer focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, stop making it for the critics and stop telling the world, here's what you need. And start going, customer, this is exactly, I'm listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of Tom's biggest thing, I love listening to somebody like him who's just crushing it and passionate about such a solid focus. He realized when he was a junior designer that if his runway show didn't sell the next day, like buyers buying it, that person would get fired. So he goes, forget it. I'm going to make stuff that the average person will want to buy that they want, they get.
I love it.
And I think as brands, like, if we just start thinking about the customer, like, what do the customers actually care about? Oh, everything changes.
So same thing with the web design community. We have awwwawards.com.
Awards.
And they have really, really nice websites. I go there for inspiration sometimes, but it's these exaggerated features. It's stuff that's basically designed for earning an award. You're talking about really kind of off-kilter placements of things to be novel, to be outside the box, but that's not necessarily helping this business convert visitors into customers. And so I just think of it as the same type of thing. Is that really what the person needs? Am I building websites just for awards, or am I building it to help businesses?
Awards.
Yeah.
Awards. Yeah.
Or am I building it so that I can help a business make money? I just think it's an important kind of question or delineation to make. And it's not that you can't be inspired by those things, just like the exaggerated features on the runway. It's like, yeah, I kind of get it. Like, I'm...
Well, look at that. Yeah. I just, you know, like the Yeezy line.
Yeah.
Kanye took fashion to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Like, he took it so far to one end.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, okay, so first season, people are hating on it.
We're talking kind of earthy tones.
Yeah, like kind of like matrixy looking outfits, you know, and it's like, where did that guy come from? But the thing was with the Yeezy line, like the people that loved it, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
The haters were very adamant. He didn't make it for he made it for people who love it, love it, love it. But everybody's pulling inspiration from somebody that goes, I'm going to blaze the trail.
Yeah.
And I think like another brand that's just crushing it, that was crushing it, you know, and we'll see how it all like plays out right now. But Saint Laurent with Eddie Slimane, when he came in as the creative director, he goes, let's drop this hard to pronounce name of Yves Saint Laurent. Yves Saint Laurent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call it Saint Laurent. We can go YSL. Average person gets it. But what Eddie did was he goes, I'm going to make fashion for this type of person. I guarantee you this. If you look at the Saint Laurent line right now, the style. I just did this. Go to a Saint Laurent store and then go to Topshop.
Mm-hmm.
Every single boot that's new at Topshop is 1 year past what Saint Laurent just did.
Nice.
But Saint Laurent, they built it for people who care.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is hating on how much are those boots again? That's too big. The heel's too tall.
Yeah.
But everybody wants it once they see it more.
Yeah.
It takes that trailblazer. It's a risky thing. It's not for everybody until it becomes mainstream. And now all of a sudden, Topshop. And I guarantee you, like every lower end brand, Topshop influences what H&M is doing. H&M influences Zara, like that whole line there.
Yeah.
Next thing you're going to see is like the average run of the mall shop at the mall is like looking like what Saint Laurent was doing 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It always goes that way. It takes one trailblazer.
We've got. Before we kind of sign out here, we got to talk about long shirts, which are becoming more common and things like that. So talk to me a little bit about that new line.
Yeah. So over the last year, again, customer, always customer first. We got so many phone calls, and you see it in the markets. We're like looking for vendors that can actually sell us blank long tees.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody found one that offered one, and it was junk. Absolutely junk. It was a standard t-shirt, just longer.
Mm.
It hugged you like a mini skirt.
Yeah, which is different.
You had to buy two sizes up, and then the sleeves are too big. It was
horrible. Like the cut, there's like a cut on
horrible.
The, yeah.
So what we did was forget it. Like, we're going to nail this thing. Like, if there's an opportunity in the market, we're going to find a way. While every other decorator is figuring out how to make it cheaper and faster, we're going to figure out how to make what customers actually want.
I have a question for you on these long tees.
Yeah.
Is it mostly, like, for younger people's brands?
Man.
This isn't, like, a corporate thing yet.
No, it's not corporate. But, like, when I'm in Silicon Valley and I show them the prototype and it's everybody under 35... Mm-hmm. The whole office wants it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I'd say, like, you're not going to see this at, you know.
So they're doing it in Cali, so I might need to get on these long tees.
Yeah, but if no decorator in America can buy it because no distributor or manufacturer has purchased inventory, you know, made inventory, we're like, forget it. There's a huge opportunity here because customers are beating our door down for it. So within two, three months, we're launching our long tee. The neckline is amazing. It's a single stitch around. The tailored side seam, so it's not like baggy.
Mm-hmm.
Fits nice, and it goes down. It has the curved bottom back, you know.
How, so it was literally your customers asking for it, and you were kind of doing
I'm
some...
I'm always
were you
looking.
Doing some other research
I'm
to
always
kind of
watching.
Check it out? Yeah.
I'm always watching.
Like what's the Will Smith's son? He loves those shirts.
Jaden.
We got the
Bieber.
Everybody's into that now.
You always.
I still can't quite rock it. But you know, it took me a while to get into.
I was so skeptical. I was so skeptical. But if you're wearing the dress, then you're skeptical when you wear a nice fitting shirt. And I think that's it. It's kind of like I look at it like what Tom Ford did for men's fashion. It's like he gave men a fighting chance to stand on the runway.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with t-shirts. Like if the whole market looks sloppy, how do we make something that looks amazing that you can actually be proud of wearing?
Mm-hmm.
So like we're actually launching a totally separate brand that we're going to be the only company to be able to print on it.
Awesome.
We're going to offer it for retail. You can buy like single or three pack blank. but we're actually going to make t-shirts that you will be proud to wear.
Awesome.
Not just the run-of-the-mill junk, I'd say, at H&M. Yeah. $12 t-shirt, the cotton. Everybody knows it. Everybody I talked to with H&M, I bought them. Yeah. They fall apart. They get pilly, everything.
They're kind of disposable clothes.
Kind of disposable. It's fat.
Yeah. So, I mean, Bill, it's been so good to chat with you today. Yeah. You don't need to advertise a good party. Bill's book coming out soon, Co-Ed Monkey, soft customer customer care and soft are the biggest words you guys care about and you live up to. I had a great time. CoEdMonkey.com on Twitter, where can they find
at
you?
Co-Ed Monkey.
Co-Ed Monkey. My name's Tim. Thank you for watching, listening, and you can find me at Tim B Design MPLS. And the show notes will be at timbydesign.com/podcast-12, the number 12. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Because you're biting your tongue. You spent so much time stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how are we gonna learn your song? So come on, come on.
Join us next time for It's a Code World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO to work process tips and working with clients.